The reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, starting at verse 16, reading through to verse 30. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elijah the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way.
Well, good morning. Seems strange being back up here after all this time. It's nice to see you all here, and those of you who are at home. I'm guessing that in the last 18 months, we've all experienced some time at what I refer to as a sofa service, where we sit at home and enjoy joining in the service. Now, there are some things that we miss about being here together, but I'm guessing that one of them probably isn't the seats that we're sitting on. And sofas at home offer so much more comfort, don't they, than the chairs that we've got. But hopefully when we've been at home, we've been joining in with things, just as this gentleman in this picture is, as you can see him joining in. I'm not sure what he's doing, whether he's singing or whether he's encouraging as the reading's done, or maybe he's getting angry with something the speaker has said. Well, hopefully that won't be the case this morning. Or maybe he's got his phone there, maybe he's sharing thoughts with other people through the service. You know, things like, he really needs a haircut, those kind of things. But I guess we've all spent a bit of time on the sofa in the last 18 months. And that's thanks to our tech team. For those of you who are watching at home now on your sofa, they're the people you never see because they're never at this end. They're always behind the cameras who've made all this possible. So as Matt's already said, thank you to the tech team that's made all of this possible. Now, a few weeks ago, Glyn asked me what the title for the message was this morning. And I replied and said, well, it's a rather cryptic one. It's WWJB. So, of course, Glyn decided that he would offer his own suggestions of what that might be. So, as you'd expect from Glyn, here we are. Here's his suggestions. What would Jesus bake? Who would Jesus bless? Who whistles joyful ballads? Have you tried saying that? That's actually quite difficult to say. And why waste jelly babies? Now, I thought the last one was most intriguing. And I did give a bit of time to considering using that one and trying to find some verses that I could hang that one on. But that was a bit difficult. So when Glyn's back, maybe I'll ask him, you know, what verses he had in mind for why waste jelly babies. So what is this morning all about? Well, I'm sure that most of you have come across this, WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? Which has now seemed to spurn a whole industry of wristbands. If you go online, you can find them made of all kinds of materials, in all shapes, in all sizes, and for a massive variety of prices as well. What would Jesus do? Well, what would WWJB then? What's that about? Well, it's about this. Where would Jesus be if he lived in the UK today? Where would Jesus be? And to answer this question, we have to go back to the Bible and look for some clues in the life of Jesus. And the first place I thought we'd look is in those verses that Jeff read to us from Luke chapter 4. And particularly these verses, as Jesus reads from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So I just draw your attention there to some of the words in that. Poor, prisoners, blind, and oppressed. Now, when Jesus arrived on the scene, there was a general expectation amongst the people about the Messiah and what he would be doing when he came. And that expectation was all around him being a deliverer from political oppression. Israel was occupied by the Roman Empire, and people were expecting a Messiah who would come and kick out the Romans and establish the Israel kingdom again. The thing was, though, is that wasn't on Jesus' agenda. Jesus often turns up in places that are unexpected. So let's just have a look at these verses, which are fairly familiar, I think, from Matthew 11. John the Baptist is in prison, and he sends his disciples to Jesus to find out if Jesus is the Messiah or whether there's someone else they should be waiting for. And Jesus replies to them, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." So maybe if Jesus were in the UK today, he might be with people who have a disability. Almost 14 million people reported a disability in 2016-17. Would Jesus be with those people if he were in the UK today? Some more familiar verses. Jesus says to his disciples who've tried to stop children coming to him, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Would Jesus be with children if he were in the UK today? Particularly, might he be with those who are in care? Over 100,000 children in care in 2018-19, according to NSPCC figures. And just going back to this verse again, from Luke chapter 4, Jesus talks about prisoners. Would Jesus be with the prisoners? In August this year, on the 13th, over 75,000 men and 3,000 women are in prison in the UK. Would Jesus be with them? Interesting to note, as I saw these figures, the more children in care, than there are people in prison in the UK. Where would Jesus be? That is a tough question to answer as we look through Jesus' life. The thing is to the people of his day, Jesus didn't do the things he was supposed to do. And he associated with all kinds of people and turned up in all kinds of places. Jesus was unpredictable, certainly to the religious rulers of the day. Perhaps it's best summed up with a few words from Mr. Tumnus the Fawn to the Pevensey children in the book The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, where he says to the children about Aslan, "He's not a tame lion, you know. Jesus can't be put in a box." It's quite difficult to pin down where Jesus might be if he were in the UK today. Looking at his life, he popped up all over the place. Now, as I was looking around the internet on this question, I found that a few years ago, someone posted a similar kind of question. What would happen if Jesus came back today? Now, as you'd expect, this got a lot of answers posted online. So here's one that I picked out from an American chap that I thought might interest you. What would happen if Jesus came back today? He'd be shot by a cop, the cop's actions found not culpable. He'd be deported for having a Latino name, Jesus, pronounced Jesus. He'd be shocked or proud of the body count amassed in his name. He'd be fired by Trump for speaking fake news. He'd be labeled a socialist by Fox News for that love thy neighbor talk. And the gentleman posting this added on the end, "These are just off the top of my head. Being an atheist, I admit some may find this list irreverent." Lots of answers to this question, but there's another one I thought was interesting. What would happen if Jesus came back today? He would have more followers than Beyonce. So how many is that, you might think? Well, I looked it up. Currently, that's over 200 million just on Instagram alone. 200 million followers. But the idea that he would have more followers than Beyonce leads on to another question then. Would Jesus be online? Well, surprisingly, if you go online, a lot of people think that he would. This is a post from just one chap who's got a blog. What would Jesus post? 6 ways Jesus would engage social media. And he concludes this bit that he's got by saying this: "I believe Jesus would engage on social media. Jesus valued spaces where people of all backgrounds gathered. For Jesus, that space was the marketplace. Of his 132 public appearances, 122 had a marketplace context. The 4 Gospels record Jesus telling 52 parables, 45 had a marketplace context." Now, I have to confess here, I have not fact-checked that statement. Whether this chap's actually done the research or just, you know, trying to prove a point, I couldn't say. But the next bit's interesting. "Social media is the modern-day marketplace. People from all backgrounds are on social media. Lives are shared. Important theological and social issues are discussed. Culture is shaped. News is broken." Would Jesus be online? Don't know if you've ever given any thought to that question, if Jesus were around today. Now, you might remember a few weeks ago, Glyn shared this slide from a book by Lawrence Singlehurst, basically illustrating how when we become Christians, we have lots of non-Christian friends. then the longer we are Christians, the more time we spend in church, with church people, doing stuff in church, that we gradually get fewer and fewer non-Christian friends. And as Lawrence Singlehurst puts it, ultimate sanctification, no non-Christian friends. But of course, in the world online, it's possible now to have many friends, or at least many relationships. Many years ago, people had pen pals, but now you can have multiple pen pals online. So would Jesus be online? Well, you might remember during the first lockdown, there was quite a few news items about churches and lockdown, as many churches, just as we did, went online. Here's an item from Sky News from the first lockdown. Big audiences for online church services. Bishop tells Sky News more than 400,000 people watched one of his online services, easily surpassing any church congregation. 400,000 for one service. The Archbishop of Canterbury also said this in an online video. He stressed why the church should be setting a good example and encouraging people not to congregate and stay at home. Jesus says, "Where two or three gather in my name, I am there with them," he said. And they don't actually have to be physically gathered. Virtually gathered does very well indeed. Jesus is quite up to date with all this stuff. I wonder what you think about that statement. Jesus is up to date with all this stuff. Can you be church online? Well, after the first lockdown, and the effect of churches going online, there was research done, surveys were conducted, and into the language came this new phrase, hybrid church. I don't know if you've come across it. You can now find online webinars on hybrid church, articles on hybrid church. There's also books being published on the subject of hybrid church. There are conferences on hybrid church. Hybrid church is the in thing. And that's as a result of research that was done during the first lockdown that found a lot of people actually viewing church services or listening to church services who wouldn't normally go to church. And on their website, Premier Digital had a lot about this, and one of their staff wrote this. In the concluding chapter of the booklet, which he wrote, I talked about digital or hybrid church being a domestic, safe, interactive church. The key for me is that hybrid offers a place to include people, to include disabled people, to include unwell people, to include the housebound, to include those who have fears stopping them coming into a strange place with strange people. That's us, by the way. We're the strange people, just in case you weren't sure of that. And if you're not sure that we're the strange people, I recommend to you a book by John Ortberg. It's called Everyone is Normal Until You Get to Know Them. He said, it will also include those who work or rest when we worship on a specific timetable. Hybrid church offers a new opportunity to include more people in the body of Christ. It's just interesting to consider this question. Is the online world the biggest change in society in this country since industrialization moved vast numbers of people from villages to towns and cities? Has anything else had such a big impact on society? But all of this, of course, leads to many, many questions. What does it mean to be church? What does the... Was it right what the Archbishop of Canterbury said? That we can actually meet online? Is that good enough? How can we care for everyone if we live in a hybrid church where we're partly online? People who might live just 100 yards from the church building might be people who have needs but don't actually set foot in the building. How do we care for them? How can we use the online world to tell people about Jesus? We now have the opportunity, potentially, to reach millions of people. And what gifts and skills might we need to do any of these things? They're all questions for the church, for all churches to think about. And that's one of the things that COVID has done. It's marked a shift in churches and a new way of thinking about church. But of course, there's also questions for us as individuals when it comes to where would Jesus be? Where should I be? Am I still in the places Jesus wants me to be? Should I be a witness in the online world? And it's possible to be a witness in the online world without being on social media. Don't know if you realize that, but there are lots of other opportunities to be a witness in the online world. Many newspapers have websites, and the opportunity to comment on articles, which people do. You'd be surprised at some of the comments if you ever read them. But there's an opportunity to witness in an online world without ever having to be on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or any of those other things. But of course, the other thing to consider is this: am I an effective witness? Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we're always a witness for Jesus. The only question is, are we a good witness or not? Now, next year, the church will be celebrating its 40th anniversary. So I'm sure you'll all be signing up to take part in anniversary celebrations when we get round to that next year. But it's just worth reflecting on what things were like when the church, this church, actually began its existence. Back in 1982, the IBM PC, featuring the MS-DOS operating system, which all old people here will know and love. Dave at the back is smiling now. They had only just arrived on the scene in 1982. Your choice of viewing on TV consisted of BBC One, BBC Two, and ITV. Channel 4 arrived in November of 1982. Breakfast television did not arrive until 1983. There's no kids' channels. There's no 24-hour channels or viewing or anything like that. Three channels. And does old folk remember those days? You know, at the end of the programs, you know, the test card would come up. I think by 1982, they'd stopped playing the national anthem at the end of the scheduled programs. That's what life was like, technically, back in 1982. The world has changed massively because of technology. And who would have thought, back in 1982, that Frimley Baptist Church might have, effectively, its own TV channel that could reach not just anybody in this country or anybody who's got an internet connection, but millions of people around the world. You know, we're currently out there on YouTube and Facebook. Who would have ever thought that that would be a place where a church might be? 40 years ago, this would have seemed probably crazy talk. When people then were talking about future, for some reason, the big thing that featured in people's thinking was flying cars. No sign of a flying car, something that nobody had really conceived of. The smartphone has changed things radically. As people carry around in their pocket a small device that allows them to access so much. Some of it good, some of it not. But the world has changed radically. And what does that mean for a church? If Jesus were here, here and now, what would Jesus be doing? It's a tough question to answer, because in his day, the height of technology was probably a donkey and the wheel. Things have changed to a very different situation. How would Jesus react? And the question is, of course, we've already got this far. Where do we go from here? And in closing, I just want to leave you with these verses from Mark chapter 2. This was Jesus thinking. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." That's what Jesus came for. That's what Jesus would be doing. But how would he be doing that in the 21st century? Something for us all to think about. If you've got a life group this week, you can talk about it. If you're going outside to have a chat afterwards, it's something you could talk about. Where do we go from here? What would Jesus do if he were in our situation? We could even put a wristband on and think about that. If Jesus had access to all this technology, what would Jesus do?